Sometimes I have a hard time finding that switch. Our gospel today has an awful lot of doctrinal significance for us as a Catholic people. It's one of those passages that has greatly influenced the thought of Catholics throughout the centuries. But the most important part of that gospel is that question that Jesus asks. Who do people say that I am? Kind of in some sense an informal survey. But then he even gets more pointed. Who do you say that I am? And we know well the reply of Peter. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. When Peter says he is the Messiah, what he is saying there, that he is the one that the Jews have been expecting throughout the centuries. He is the one who will come to fulfill all the promises made to King David, that his family should reign over the house of Israel forever. That question was not just a question for Peter and for those early apostles. It is a question that you and I must also answer. Because for many today, it is a very real question. Who do I say that he is? Do we agree with the answer given by Peter? Do we believe that he is the one that the Father has sent to save us? Do we believe that he is truly Son of God? And if we believe it, do we listen to his word? You know, if I say that he is the Son of God, then what I am saying is that he is speaking to us the fullness of truth, the absolute truth. And then I must take a look at myself and say, do I listen to his truth? Do I strive to live the truth that he has taught me? And if not, why not? It's an extremely important question for us to look at today. I want to go on from there, though, to take a look at two other things about this gospel reading. One is the statement to Peter. If we could hear that in its original language, it would sound something like Jesus saying to Peter, "You are rock. And on this rock, I will build my church." Now, through the centuries, the Catholic community has taken that statement along with many other things in the New Testament. And they have said that Peter is truly the foundation upon which Jesus wanted to build his church. And that role of Peter has carried on through the Bishop of Rome, through the Pope. I want to point out a parallel between the gospel reading and the first reading. Because that really, that first reading, unless you connect it with the gospel, has very little reason to be in the liturgy of the church. The situation in that first reading is that the master of the palace or something like the prime minister is going to be removed from office. Doesn't really explain it too well, just he's going to be taken from office by the Lord. And a new one, Eliakim, is going to be put in his place. Notice what it says. He shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. I will place the key of the house of David on Eliakim's shoulder. When he opens, no one shall shut. When he shuts, no one shall open. Sounds something like what Jesus said to Peter. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Those of you who were part of the Great Adventure Bible study will know Jeff Cavins. And in his commentary on the Gospel of Matthew, he spends a lot of time on that passage. And he talks about how Jesus is really appointing Peter as prime minister. And as prime minister, he is giving him authority and responsibility over the church. Now I want to go on to another word that's closely connected to what I've just said, and that is the word church. And that's really where I want to focus the rest of the homily. What does the word church mean? Well, if you go back into its original meaning, its language at which it came, it means to be called out of. To be church is to be one who has been called out of something. Then, of course, into something. What are we called out of? What does Jesus call us out of? He calls us out of the world. He calls us out of those values, those attitudes of a world that does not know the hope of eternal life. He calls us out of selfishness, out of greed, out of anger, out of vengeance. He calls us out of that and calls us into a manifestation of the love that has been revealed to us through Christ Jesus our Savior. We are to live in that love, and we are to be manifestations of that love to the world around us. That is what it means to be church. To be called out of something and to be called into the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the calling that each and every one of us have received in our baptism. We have been called out of the world and we have been called into this relationship with Christ Jesus our Savior. Now this goes a little contrary to the way we think. But in essence, we did not choose to be members of the church. Christ Jesus chose us. He called us. We have been called to be members of Christ Jesus, to be members of his body, the church, so that we can be the manifestation of Christ in the world today. And that means in order to do that, we have to be different than the world around us. You know, there's a tendency in our time to want to think that, well, religion is kind of a private matter. And you can believe whatever you want to believe, but you shouldn't kind of make that very public. Well, that is the opposite of what we're called to do. We are called to be different. We are called to be different than the world around us that does not know the hope of salvation, does not know the life that can come to us through Jesus our Savior. We are called to be different so that we can manifest to the world the hope that is ours through Christ Jesus. There's an interesting little thing that the early church used to do at baptism. When you would come to be baptized at the Easter Vigil, the first thing the bishop would say to you is, "Take off your clothes." They were stripped of their garments, symbolizing that they were leaving that old world behind. And then they passed through the waters of baptism, and they were clothed in a white garment, symbolizing that they were now leading a new life, a life in union with Christ Jesus. And that, by the way, is why women would do the baptizing of women. The baptism was of men and women was separated by a cloth, a curtain, because they baptized in that way. But the point is that we have been called to let go of the world, to leave the world behind, and be the manifestation of Christ in the world today. I want to end with this thought. There are not too many here who remember the old Latin Mass. Some of you will. The old Latin Mass used to end with the phrase, "Ite missa est." And it translates, "Go, you are dismissed." Now that word, missa, that is the word from which our word, Mass, comes. The Mass was so associated with that going out that that became the name that was given to that ceremony. Now, sometimes we tend to think of that go, oh, thank God it's over. But that wasn't the meaning. The meaning was, go, you are dismissed, you are being sent. You are being sent to be the light of Christ in the world of darkness. You are being sent to go out and manifest the love of Christ in the world today. My brothers and sisters, that's what you and I have been called to do through baptism. That is what is renewed in us at every Eucharist. We are being sent out to be the light of Christ, to manifest the love of Christ in the world that does not know Him.